Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
We're going to read from John chapter 8. So John chapter 8. Right from the beginning of the chapter, it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them." And I have some marks along the way, underlined and some notes written in. And what is it about when Jesus came? Now this is not talking about him healing people or miracles happening or walking on the water or any of the kind of cool things Jesus did. He was just teaching them. And it said all the people came to him and he sat down and taught them. Isn't that important? Is that an important aspect of a person who really has a love connection, or really has a genuine interest, you know, like a gold prospector who's looking for gold, you know, that you would be out in California panning for gold somewhere or someplace like that, looking, seeking. That these people heard the words of Jesus and that it had some kind of impact on them as he was speaking to them. It impacted them, so that they wanted to hear what he had to say. There's a guy coming in, and he's a preacher, teacher guy, and we've heard a lot about him, but we want to hear him for ourselves. And there was something gripping, there was something that connected with people when Jesus spoke. Now, we have his words recorded for the most part, or some of them, actually, maybe not most of them, because John said everything that Jesus did was recorded. All the books in the world couldn't contain everything that he said and did. You know, so I mean, Jesus was on the move. Jesus was not a lazy minister. Jesus was on the move. John says, if everything that Jesus, all the miracles he did, everything he said, everything he did, he says he didn't think the whole world could contain the books that it would take to write down everything that Jesus said and did. So what we have to understand, therefore, is what we have in the Bible are really the golden nuggets that matter most. And what I think is hard about that is that we don't feel that attraction consistently to be with him, listening to him, allowing his words to impact us. Does that make sense to you? I mean, we want contemporary Christianity, or we want to read the new guy's book, or we want to, and I read books, so I'm one of you, I'm one of us. But do we spend time with Jesus? Just fixated on his words. And I think that's really important. Because God created the heavens and the earth with words. He spoke. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said. So this idea that God gave us this literacy capacity creates at least the ability for us to be God chasers. We have at least the ability. We may not have the motivation, but we have the ability. And it says, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Now all the people, does it mean all the people? All the people in the whole wide world were there? No. Just bunches of people came, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And he sat down. Why did he sit down? Because he was going to be a while. He sat down and taught them. Now, when Jesus, this concept of teaching them means what? Means I am the authority, and I am telling you things and not asking you to consider the possibility of things. I'm your teacher. I'm teaching you things and truths that come from God. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman. Now he's teaching in the temple. And the scribes and the Pharisees, I'm going to tell you something here. The scribes and the Pharisees want to stir this pot. The scribes and the Pharisees want to stir the pot. Because Jesus has got these people fixated. They're connected. They're fixated on what he's saying. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they want to break up this thing that's happening as Jesus is teaching. And they bring in this woman caught in the act of adultery and throw her down, put her before Jesus. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." All right? And that's heavy, to be honest with you. So there's no, we're not going to have a courtroom here. I mean, this lady is guilty of these charges, and she's not denying these charges. It says, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us as such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they may have something of which to accuse him. See, they're trying to stir the pot of Jesus in this temple, having a time where he's teaching people. And Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, so he takes his time. It's really interesting. It's really interesting because he's acting like he doesn't even hear you. He's acting like he doesn't even hear you. And you are so ripping mad. You're testing God. You think that person should be judged for what they've done. You know? And Jesus says nothing. He doesn't even dignify them at first. Takes his time. Do you know sometimes God takes his time? Do you know sometimes you have to pray for a really long time to hear back from God? Do you know sometimes Jesus takes his time and lets you work you out? He's not Watson, the computer, supercomputer. So he can spit out and beat all the Jeopardy people, right? That God sometimes doesn't answer you right away. Does that mean he doesn't hear you? No, I don't think Jesus went deaf. I think Jesus was allowing the moment to judge itself. So when they continued asking him, so they were hounding him, right? We're going to get this guy. We're going to see where this guy goes with this. And whatever he says, we're going to be able to use it against him. He says, yeah, go ahead, stone her. You know? Or, no, don't stone her. He says, stone her, then he's a legalist. If he says, don't stone her, then he's a hyper grace guy. Right? And so there, yeah, I mean, you can go either way. No matter how you judge this situation, I can take it either way and I can beat you over the head with it. So when they continued asking, he raised himself up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." That's maybe one of the most wonderful scriptures in the Bible. "Let he who is without sin among you throw a stone at her first." You'd be the first to tear her down. You'd be the first to rip her up. You'd be the first to criticize her. You talk about her behind her back. You gossip about her. You know deep in your heart that that's somebody we got to keep an eye on. It couldn't possibly be that God is doing a miracle in that person's life, even though we can see clearly that they have some sinful tendencies. So he said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And then again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And maybe because I'm older now, when you're young and you're a Christian, you're so full of zeal. Everybody's got to be so perfect and so righteous all the time. When you see somebody who isn't so much, boy, you just want to be the God cops. You know, you want to be officer. You want to be Dragnet, if anybody's old enough to remember that. Very old series. You know, you want to be the cops for God. And the older you get, the more you see the frailty of your own life. You become familiar with your own weaknesses and failures, and you're not so quick anymore to be the guy who's going to be quick to accuse someone else of wrong. And they had consciences, and there's a difference. But one of the problems with, frankly, living in the church is the church can honestly sear your conscience, because you're around the scriptures all the time. You're just not doing them. So you're used to hearing them, so they don't convict your heart anymore, and your conscience is shot. You don't have a conscience anymore. You know, so you become like an angry religious person. And there's nothing uglier in the world. That's why the scribes and the Pharisees are used as the villain of Jesus' ministry. Because they had become so hardened to their teaching, they had gone to seminary, they had gone to Bible school, they knew everything about God. And once you become like that, you're hard, you know? And yet you have and your conscience is gone. When you're young and you've been raised in the word of God, you know, it's just easy to figure out. I mean, I was brilliant when I was young. You know, and the longer you ride this pony, the more you realize God is brilliant. Me, not so much. Yeah? So they were convicted by their conscience, and they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. So this idea of us being convicted by our own conscience, causing us to act in acts of love, in acts of care, and not being so quick to judge, speak about one another unkindly and all of that kind of stuff, it should cause us, if you're hanging around with people like that, you shouldn't. Then you can't wait to get together and have coffee and talk about the church people, how, you know, Sister Sally wore this and Brother Harry did this and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Stop hanging around with people like that. You don't belong with them. Don't hang around with people who don't do your faith well. And when Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Even her calling him Lord is very respectful, by the way. Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. So again, are we not sort of doing a balancing act here? Jesus is not saying, "Okay, it's okay, go ahead. go ahead with your life. I don't condemn you. You're free. Go ahead with your life. Actually, no. He didn't say that at all. He rebuked her. He forgave her and rebuked her. He forgave her and he instructed her. Are you with me? Yes, I forgive you. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Stop living like that. I asked last week, do you have a free will or not? It feels to me like we do. Not that we're not influenced by cultural influences, by genetic influences, by many different influences. But on top of all that, you have the power to change. You have the power to change. You don't have to be in that sinful state the rest of your life. You wake up every morning, thank God Jesus has forgiven me. And you take off and you spend the next day half foul and vulgar like you spent the last 40. Not picking on people in the 40s. Like the last day, week, month, year. Are you with me? Go and sin no more. What's supposed to be the prime objective of the Christian life? That we move away from our sinful practices. That we become, this is my word, won't find it, I don't think, in the dictionary. You become holified. Right? That God's holiness becomes a part of who you are. You become holified. And holified is not timid. Holified has the faith of a lion. Holified is not afraid to share our faith, to live our faith. So Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Get it out of your life. What's your deal? There's enough of them out there. I'm not going to alliterate. You know your own demon, your pal. Jesus said, go and sin no more. And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, now the same crowd is there. He's still in the temple. The same crowd is there. They're watching this whole thing. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me. How do you follow him? You can't, unless you are a biblical thinker, and the first thing that pops into your head when some situation arises is something from the scripture, you're not following him. You're following, you know, whoever. Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, you know, Nancy Pelosi, perhaps. I don't know. Who are you following? You just meant to me, I don't follow anybody. I follow myself. But you're no different than anybody else. We're all the same. All of us independent Americans are all the same. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So that means that you get to bend down and scribble in the ground too, because you're cooking in Jesus on what's the right move at this point in time. You're cooking in the Lord. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Why? Because they had been to seminary. And they said, if one person bears witness of himself, because the scripture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You bear witness of yourself, therefore your witness is not true. I'm telling you, it's a bunch of religious folks. And Jesus said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law, by the way, scholars, biblical scholars, it is also written in the law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and my Father who sent me bears witness of me. There ain't just one. I am not just bearing witness of myself. My Father is bearing witness of me. And then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered and said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. So all your scriptural knowledge, if you had known me, you would have already known my Father also. He's kicking him, right? He's walloping the living daylights out of him. Love that. Gentle Jesus holding his little lammy. Walloping the daylights out of those Pharisees and scribes. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. And then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And then he said, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Why is it that you have a hard time wanting to love and serve Jesus all the time? Because we are in a wrestling match with the God of this world. We are of this world. We're trying like heck not to be of this world. We're working real hard not to be of this world, but to be of Jesus' world, following Jesus. But to the degree that we acclimate ourselves to the ways and the will of this world, we are of this world. You're probably the smartest guy on the bus. You're still of this world. If you're not following Jesus. Because Jesus came as the guide. We are the miners stuck in this Chilean mine, deep, deep, deep down in the center of the earth, waiting to be rescued. Jesus is the one who shows up with the headlamp to lead us out into a kingdom we were originally designed to inhabit, God's kingdom. He said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for you do not believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. Only one reason you're going to die in your sins, because you don't believe that I am he. There's only one reason you're going to die in your sins, because you don't believe that I am he. And if you believe that he is who he says he is, then you ought to be with this crowd surrounding Jesus, listening to his words. And then they said, who are you? You know, I mean, a lot of this stuff, frankly, is rhetoric, right? It's rhetorical. Okay, you said this, therefore I'm going to come back at you and say, okay, then what do you mean you don't believe I am he? He was calling himself the Messiah. Really what he was doing was labeling himself as the one. They knew it darn well. They just wanted to hear him say it so they would have something to accuse him with. Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And the words, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. So Jesus is saying, I didn't even come here as the, I'm not the creator, the author of all these things I'm saying to you. I'm just listening to my Father and being obedient. He says, I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And I always do those things that please him. Jesus said, I always do what pleases God. Jesus said, I always do what pleases the Father. Wouldn't it be great if your greatest wish in the world was to be obedient to God in every aspect of your life? I desire nothing more than to get the vulgarity out of my life, to get the sin, to get to get it out of my life, to run it out, that I could say, I'm obedient to God. I may not say, I'm not going to go out and brag it or put up a billboard or anything, because you're asking the devil for an attack then. And he who sent me is with me. You got to know God is with you. Got to know he's with you. You got to trust him that he can fix it. Whatever it is, you got to trust him that he can fix it. He can. He will. You got to trust him that he can fix it. Because he's with me. He says, he who has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I always do the things that please him. Listen to this. Listen. This is the last verse of that chapter, so I'm going to let you go. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. He didn't raise anybody from the dead. He didn't heal anybody of a sickness. He had very wise words to speak to scribes and Pharisees that were trying to trick him. But he said, let me tell you something. I'm the light of the world because I dwell in my Father. He is always with me. And as he taught them, many believed in him. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that turns you on to Jesus. It's the word of God. All it's got to do is penetrate that shell of a heart that makes you think that you are somebody that you're not. You're called to be a child of God. Amen?
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message was titled, God Chasers. I want to ask you today, who are you chasing? Or maybe what are you chasing? Is it money or a job? Recognition. I want to tell you today that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can chase many things in this life, but if Jesus is not the first thing, everything else is for naught. Today, you can become a God chaser and follow Christ for the rest of your life. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sinful ways. Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived a perfect life and died on a cross for my sins. I ask for your forgiveness today. Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Make me whole. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sins. I walk forward in a new relationship with you, Jesus, today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. We would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Our address is 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We would love to meet you and hear how God's ministry is working in your life. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If this podcast has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? You can give online at www.cmcconline.org. And while you're there, check us out. There's links to our Facebook page. You can learn about our other ministries that run throughout the week. You can also message us from our website or our Facebook page. Message us your prayer requests. We would love to pray with you. We have a prayer team that is waiting to hear from you and pray with you. We also would love to hear your testimonies of how God is using this ministry to impact your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.